Good morning, everyone. Good morning. Open your Bible, please, to the book of Numbers, to Numbers chapter 11. We'll be in Numbers a great deal this morning, and you'll be helped if you can see a Bible, paper, digital, or otherwise. If you brought your scroll, please roll that out. Let's look at Numbers chapter 11 this morning as we continue to focus on our students and our teachers and administrators and parents in what is a very unusual year. What has been a difficult year in many ways, which brings us to an extra special and extra needed back-to-school Sunday. We've got a great crowd today. We're very pleased that you are here, delighted that our building has adequate space for everyone to be with us today. We know we have a lot of folks with us online. We're just pleased to be together and to have the chance to pray. That means so much. One of the things you can't help but notice if you read the book of Acts is how much the church prays. And it's just a delight that our shepherds lead us to be a praying church like that. I'm reading in the book of Numbers now, and I want to read in Numbers chapter 11 and verse 1. In Numbers chapter 11 and verse 1. And so the Israelite people complained in the hearing of the Lord about their misfortunes. And when the Lord heard it, his anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burned among them and consumed some outlying parts of the camp. I do well remember a special first day of school. I think I was in the second grade. And that year, my older brother Chris and I had both got brand new lunch kits. It's not much bigger than that when you're in the second grade. New lunchbox, matching thermos, extremely cool. And I remember on the first day of school, as we got out of the car, my brother's lunchbox opened and his thermos fell out onto the concrete. Now, the kids right now are not worrying about that at all because thermoses today are like Hydro Flasks and Yeti. They're made of bulletproof Kevlar and reinforced plutonium. There's no way that they could break even in a small-scale nuclear blast. But back in the day, thermoses were fragile. There was a thin plastic shell around a glass inner liner. If you spoke too loudly in the presence of your thermos, it would shatter just to spite you. When Chris dropped his thermos on the ground, it shattered. You could hear it shattered. His brand new thermos didn't even make it inside the building on the first day of school. Now, that's a rough start to a school year. But it's not anything quite like the start that we've got now, is it? I think everybody would trade a broken thermos for where we are. Parents having to say things like, do you have your homework? Do you have your lunch? Where's your mask? Kids having to say things like, Mom, the internet is down and I can't get in the Zoom meeting and get in my school assignment. Children saying things like, what? The homeschool co-op is canceled? What are we going to do for sports? And of course, what everybody's asking is, are we going back to school, as in person, or are we doing that virtually today? There's never been a challenge quite like this year for school and education. And that's why this morning our Back to School Sunday is so important. Whether you are in-person schooling now or still doing that virtually, or maybe you're in a private school or you're in a homeschool situation, everybody is stressed and distressed about what COVID has brought to the educational process. The question is, how's the Bible going to help us? We have prayed and asked God to bless us. Does God have a word that will bless us? And the answer is, through His word, God will do so. Kids, I need you to be locked in this morning because I'm going to show you from God's word the powerful decision you get to make that will determine so much of your school year. Parents and grandparents, you come along for the ride as well because I'll help you this morning as we see what kids need to focus on, the choices that they need to make, and we can reinforce and remind them of that throughout this entire school year. Got your Bible ready? We're going to work in the Word of God this morning so that we can be and are and act and behave in the way that God wants us to. So let's start in the book of Numbers again, where the question is, are you going to act like the Israelites? Are you going to behave like an Israelite? I'm going to pick up the reading in Numbers 11. Let's start in verse 2. In Numbers 11 and verse 2, so the people cried out to Moses, and Moses prayed unto the Lord, and the fire died down. So the name of that place was called Tabarah, because the fire of the Lord had burned among them. And now the rabble, Numbers 11 and 4, that was among them, had a strong craving. And the people of Israel also wept again and said, oh, that we had meat to eat. We remember the fish that we ate in Egypt that cost nothing, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic. Oh, now our strength is dried up and there is nothing at all but all this manna to look at. Let's make sure we know exactly where we are biblically. If you click on the history tab, there's not a lot to look at for Israel because for the last 400 years, their history is all the same. They are slaves. They've been enslaved in Egypt for over 400 years. But now by the grace and power of God, they've been liberated from that slavery and they're on their way to the promised land. Did you hear that? They're on their way. They're not there yet. Things are not ideal. They're kind of in an in-between state right now. Everything is not what they would really like it to be. Things are not as was promised. There's some issues with food and water. There's all kinds of questions about when we get to the land of Canaan and what is that land exactly going to be like. And of course, there's lots and lots of walking. If you're reading an Israelite's Facebook page during this time, it's going to say the same thing every day. Got up, walked all day, went to bed. Got up, walked all day, went to bed. Got up, walked all day, went to bed. Except on the Sabbath, that's what they're doing all the time. Lots of walking, more walking, side order of hiking. It's all walk all the time in the hot desert. Are you thinking about that, kids? This situation in many ways mirrors your situation. Not ideal. Not everything that you would like it to be. Lots of uncertainty. This circumstance is troubling. Now let's think about how the Israelites handle that. How do they handle being in a situation that isn't everything they would like it to be? What are they doing about that? What kind of things can we see in the Israelites? Did you notice in verse 1? This is the Israelite reaction all the time. Let's just complain about it. Maybe what you noticed in verse 1 is the Lord's reaction to their complaining. But I would suggest to you this morning what really ought to stand out is that this is about the 1 billionth time that the Israelites have been in some kind of difficulty, and their response is to whine. In fact, that goes way back into the book of Exodus. Do you remember when they get to the edge of the Red Sea? The Egyptian army shows up. What's their response? Complain. They get across the Red Sea in a miraculous deliverance by the power of God. What's their response? We don't have any water. We'll complain about that. Next day, we don't have food. We'll complain about that. Before long, they're camped at Sinai. You know what? Moses has been gone too long. We'll just complain about that. Moaning, murmuring, griping, grumbling, complaining. It's all they do all the time. You name it, they're complaining about it. And yes, I get it. Their situation is not the best, but it seems to me their persistent complaining makes it worse. You thinking about that, kids? Let's be clear here. That kind of attitude comes from pride and arrogance that says, yeah, this is where I am, but I'm so important, I deserve to be in a better place and have a better state. I'm not sure how a bunch of people who used to be on the bottom of the ladder, they were slaves, somehow got themselves in a situation where they felt mighty free to say to God, step it up here, Lord. We need you to do a better job. But they got there and they complained constantly how things are not good enough. Part of that comes, look at verse 4 again, because these folks ignore the blessings that are around them. In verse 4, the rabble had a strong craving, and the people of Israel wept again and said, oh, we wish we had some meat to eat. What's remarkable about that is that while there's been lots of general complaining, now there's some very specific complaining about what's on the menu. All we have is manna. Manna, manna, manna. Verse 6, we are just worn out looking at manna. Why didn't somebody say, free bread? Hey, free bread. It rains from the sky every day. All we have to do is go pick it up. It's all you can eat bread. No, no, no. Instead of focusing on the good, there is a deliberate effort here to ignore that and focus on what we don't have. And I think that happens sometimes with kids. Focusing on the downside of school, homework and term papers and math, so much math, while we're ignoring all the good things that education can bring. Have you ever thought about school as a blessing? After the Revolutionary War in this country, in 1787, the Continental Congress approved the sale of huge tracts of land in the West to Revolutionary War veterans and their families and other settlers. Now, the West back then meant Ohio, which is not exactly very West for us, but the frontier was opening. A huge part of the Articles of the Northwest Territory that were passed said the following: as religion, morality, and knowledge are necessary to good government and the happiness of mankind, schools and the means of education shall forever be encouraged. In fact, the ordinance went on to say that if you were going to settle a territory and build a city there, you had to set aside land for a school. How about that? That's a little different take on education. Education was seen as such a blessing, it was mandated. We've got to have that. You should know that at the time, the rest of the world held its breath. What are you talking about? You can't settle if you don't build a school. Nobody had ever done anything like that. But in God's good providence, one of the ways he blessed this country is with founding fathers who said, education matters. Kids, do you ever thank God for the blessing and the opportunities education provides in your future? Have you ever thought about what your life would be like if you could not read or you could not do math? See how easy it is to be like an Israelite and ignore the blessings right in front of you. Which brings me to verse 5. What about verse 5? In verse 5, I love this. Oh, we remember the fish, verse 5. We remember the fish that we ate in Egypt that cost nothing. The cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic. Let's just dream about the good old days in Egypt. Can't you remember how wonderful that was? Free food, all that we wanted. Oh, I wish I could go back to Egypt. Oh, things were so good there. What was Moses thinking when he marched us out here into this wilderness? I wonder, did anybody in the middle of verse 5 stop the complain train long enough to say, yes, there was some food there, but there was also Egyptian slavery. We had taskmasters who worked us 7 days a week in the roasting sun. You know, I like cucumbers. I've never, ever had anybody give me a cucumber that was so good that I thought, I'll tell you what, buddy, You throw in some melon, some leeks, and a little bit of onion and garlic, and I will be your slave as long as you can keep the cucumbers rolling. What are they thinking? That is absolute craziness to idealize the past in that way. But what will be the temptation in school year 2020? Oh, I remember last year we didn't have to wear masks in school. That was so great. Oh, yes. And last year our homeschool co-op met. We were able to do all kinds of great activities. We can't do any of that this year. I'm so sick of online instruction. If I have to go to another Zoom meeting. Oh, and last year we got to sit closer than 6 feet away at lunchtime. But what was school year 2019 really like? You know, I don't know everything about your school year last year, but I'm guessing it wasn't perfect. Maybe you had a teacher you didn't like. Maybe there was some annoying kid that you wish would social distance. Last year was probably not as amazing and as incredible as we dream about and idealize it. In fact, I well remember last year, as we came to church on Sundays and Wednesdays, and I would talk and interact with kids, I always say things like, "How's school going?" And the answer to that from kids last year made it pretty much sound like the school system had been completely converted into a salt mining operation. And yet now, what are we going to... Oh, last year the salt mines were wonderful. How quickly Israelites forget what the past was really like, and they romanticize it and idealize it and long for the good old days. I'm asking you kids this morning, you going to be an Israelite? Is that going to be your approach to this school year? I'm going to complain. I'm going to ignore the blessings in front of me. I'm going to dream about the good old days. Will you be an Israelite every day? Whether you're going to a building, whether you're firing up the internet, whether you are homeschooled, private school, public school, you need to ask yourself, kids, today, am I going to act like an Israelite? Or instead, am I going to be like Joshua and Caleb? Turn your Bible in Numbers to Numbers chapter 13, please. In the 13th chapter of Numbers, you should know there that the 10 spies returned from spying out the land of Canaan. The 12 spies, Joshua and Caleb, were part of them. But 10 of those spies bring back a bad report. Can I tell you this? That's the most unsurprising thing ever. When you have people who are cynical and pessimistic and who whine about everything, are overdramatic about every problem, what did you think those 10 spies were going to say? You knew they would say, "We ain't got a chance, there's no way, no how, this is a train wreck." But there are two guys who are different. In Numbers, the 13th chapter and in verse 30, Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and occupy it. We are well able to overcome it." That's a different spirit. That's a different attitude that Caleb is pushing there. That's a whole different way of looking at the world. Let me just ask you, can you be like Joshua and Caleb? Can you be positive when everybody else is being negative? Have you ever noticed that in the Bible, godly people are always saying "can" when everybody else is saying "can't"? Have you ever caught that? That's how godly people operate. That's what godly people do. And that certainly doesn't mean that Christianity is some positive mental attitude nonsense. But it absolutely does mean that people of faith, disciples, they have a forward tilt to life. They bring a momentum into every situation. They have a positive inclination because they know what God can do through His people when His people do the best they can and combine it with faith in what God's going to accomplish. That's why David says, "I got this giant. That's why Deborah says, get a sword, bring on the battle. That's why Elijah the prophet says, I'll light a fire under these people. People of faith say yes when everybody else says no way. God's people are never part of the negative, we can't, whining and complaining that everyone else is part of. I mean, how could we be? How could we be part of that when we are praying without ceasing? When we are rejoicing always, 1 Thessalonians 5:16 and 17. How can we be down when we know, because of what James tells us in chapter 1, that even in trials, God's using those things to build perseverance and patience in our lives. Joshua and Caleb say, with God's help, let's do this. Can you be like that for the school year? In fact, Joshua and Caleb continue to talk into chapter 14. Focus with me there in chapter 14. As everything begins to fall apart, as people begin to whine and complain and lose faith, Joshua and Caleb, verse 6, they were among those who had spied out the land, Numbers 14, verse 6, and they tore their clothes. They said to all the congregation of the people of Israel, the land which we have passed through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, He will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land that flows with milk and honey. I love how Joshua and Caleb are not fools. They do not ignore the realities of what's in Canaan, that there will be hard battles that have to be fought. But they clearly understand that with God's help, they can do it. Which means they accent the reward instead of focusing on what is negative. Verse 7, it's an exceedingly good land. Verse 8, it's a land that flows with milk and honey. They are talking to a nation of farmers and ranchers. What else do you need to say? This land is amazing. This is what we dream about. Let's go. Let's focus on the reward for pushing forward. Now, honestly, that can be a little hard in the school system when you're in the second grade. I mean, I'm a long way from the end. I'm a long way from the reward. That can be a little hard when you're in the sixth grade. A little hard even when you're a junior in high school, because you're thinking about, I'm fixing to graduate, but then I'm just going on to trade school, or I'm going on to college, more years, more education, more years in the educational system. But there's an end to all of that. There's an end to all of that. And when you reach that end, there's a reward. Our educational system prepares you to become a functioning adult so that you can support yourself and earn a living and support your family. But I want you to understand, education is about a lot more than clocking out the end with a piece of paper so you can get a job. Education changes you now. It grows you and develops you. It teaches you how to think. It teaches you how to reason. It exposes you to new ideas that you would never have thought of before. It takes you places in your reading and in your studies that you would never have gone. You explore and find out and go and do, as our brother prayed, that you might even find a passion. You may well find a lifelong calling in the educational system. There are people in this auditorium who have spent their lives in a certain career which they found in the fifth grade, seventh grade, because some teacher came along and said, you could do this, look at this. And they said, that's me, I can, I will, I want to. That's what education does. It develops you into a mature person. That's a blessing, that's a reward that's ongoing right now. All kinds of great things happen to kids who go to school, who learn, who expand their minds and their capabilities. And can I tell you, those things aren't happening to the millions of children who get up every morning and go to work in a rice paddy in China, or who head out onto the streets of Manila or Bombay to beg for a living. We need to focus on that, kids. We need to focus on the rewards that education is bringing to your life. Which brings me to verse 9. I love what happens in verse 9. In verse 9, Joshua and Caleb say, "Only do not rebel against the Lord. Do not fear the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their protection is removed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them." The operative expression there is the beginning of the verse. Do not rebel against the Lord. We got to do what's right. We have to do what's right. And it is so this morning that your situation in going to school is not exactly parallel to the situation of the Israelites. Because the Israelites had been commanded to go into the promised land, and God did not command you to go to school. So there's a difference there. But what is a constant is that Joshua and Caleb advocated faith in God, which would lead to obedience to God. And I'm saying to you this morning, whatever your situation is, public school, private school, home school, virtual school, Zoom school, in-person school, whether you love school, hate school, whether this is your first year of school, this is your last year of school, you can fill this year with a determination to obey God. I'm going to do what's right. I'm going to be God's person. I'm going to let my light shine. I will be honest. I will do the best I can. I will respect those in authority. I will try to encourage people around me. I will make the best of a bad situation. I will obey God. A lot of students aren't going to do that. A lot of students aren't going to do what's right. They're not going to be positive. They are going to complain. They are going to badmouth education. They're not going to think about the blessings. They may even seek to do outright sinful and wrong activities. Your decision is, I will be like Joshua and Caleb. I'm going to do what's right. No, this year's not what I wish it was. Yes, there's a lot of weirdness going on. A whole lot of crazy things are happening. I'm doing what's right, like Joshua and Caleb did. What all of that is to say then is that this year is a year of choices. It is about choice. What will you choose, students, in this difficult year? The question this morning is not, will you drop your thermos on the first day of school? The question is, will I behave like an Israelite? Or will I be like Joshua and Caleb? It's up to you. You get to decide. Parents and grandparents, remember I said I have something for you? Right there. That's exactly what we need to reinforce, what we need to be asking about, what we need to be talking about, not just now as school is beginning and getting underway, but all through the year. Can we be like Joshua and Caleb? How are you handling it? Are you taking the Israelite approach? Are you taking Joshua and Caleb's approach? What are you choosing? All of us need to be reminded, not just at back to school time, but all year long, that it is our call as people of faith to be different, to be lights in darkness, to walk by faith, and to live out our obedience to God in front of the entire school, and especially our school friends. It is our call as we go back to school this year to make the right choice and to choose to honor God in this weird and challenging school year.
Let's pray. Almighty God and Father in heaven, we are so thankful for your word and how it teaches and instructs and guides us. We're so thankful that you hear and answer our prayers. We ask, Father, that you would bless every student here this morning. Give them the spirit of Joshua and Caleb. Help them to overcome the challenges of this year with faith in you and determined obedience. And I'm praying for parents and grandparents and aunts and uncles. Bless us as we encourage our students to be the kind of people that honor and glorify you. I'm praying for teachers and administrators. Give them courage and wisdom and strength and patience. Help them to help students reach out for all the good things that can happen in education. We are praying as we begin a new school year, Father, for a double portion of Joshua and Caleb's good spirit. Help these students choose to serve you. And as always, Father, we ask that you would bless our shepherds as they continue to guide and lead this good church. In Christ we pray, and amen. If you're going to sing from a songbook, you should find one. You'll need it just right here directly. We'll close this portion of our worship this morning with an opportunity for you to be in obedience to God. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about the attitudes of heart, the way of faith that leads us to do what the Lord has told us to do. Is that where you are? If you've not been baptized for the remission of your sins, that's your starting point this morning. That's Acts 2:38. You need to do that, and you know you need to do that. If you need more information about Jesus so that you could be rendering obedience and having faith in him, you come see me after services. We'll have that conversation. But if you know what to do, you need to get off the dime and do it. If you are a child of God and you're away from the Lord, now is the time to return to him, to repent, and to seek his forgiveness. We'll help. We'll pray with you. We'll do all we can to assist you. It's about trusting in God, and it's about doing what God says. Could we help you to do that? Make your way down front while we stand, while we sing.